Bună seara și bine v-am regăsit la Radio Links, la Internet Links. For our English listeners, we'll be starting shortly with Jeremy Wright. But yep. Just before that, I will have to make some Romanian announcements, so please bear with us. După cum sper că ați înțeles, cea mai mare parte dintre ascultători îl avem invitat în această seară pe Jeremy Wright de la nsite.org. Vom discuta cu el despre bloguri, despre revoluția blogurilor, de ce blogurile sunt o revoluție, de ce să nu-ți faci un blog. Jeremy râde în acest moment și totuși... Jeremy, you're laughing, but I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Okay, I'll tell you just now. So, revoluția blogurilor este evenimentul care l-a adus pe Jeremy în România. Revoluția blogurilor, ai căror organizatori au fost Fundația pentru Democrație, Cultură și Libertate, Romexpo SA și Economics News, agenție de presă a comunității de afaceri din România. Noi am fost prezenți acolo, săptămâna viitoare îl vom avea invitat pe Radu Ionescu să discutăm mai multe despre implicațiile acestei revoluții a blogurilor în România, dar astăzi vom discuta cu Jeremy Wright despre bloguri în general, despre mai puțin despre bloguri corporate, cum a fost în timpul revoluției blogurilor. Vom discuta cât mai mult despre bloguri personale, vom încerca să discutăm puțin despre monetizarea blogurilor, despre cum ați putea să și câștigați bani în afară de a scrie de plăcere. Mi-închipui că în momentul în care ați putea să câștigați bani, veți scrie cu și mai mare plăcere. Și cam atât introducerea, voi mai avea câteva intervenții în limba română pe parcursul emisiunii, dar deocamdată începem să discutăm cu Jeremy Wright. Hello Jeremy.
Hello.
It's good to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
First of all, Jeremy, who is Jeremy Wright?
Oh, goodness. See, if I answer that, I'll say, you know, I'm just an ass, or I'm a nobody, or I'm a regular Joe. I think, you know, people know me for different reasons, right?
Yeah, so, I disagreed with you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but you are actually the guy from Insight. You just said that yesterday.
Insight, yeah.
So, tell me, how did you start blogging? What is blogging to you?
Ooh, I started 3 years ago. I was reading one of the PHP guys. They had a blog. I read it every day, and every day I'd comment on his entry. And my comments got longer and
you
longer
really
and longer.
It's
addictive, right? And it was like, my comments were like, you know, 8-paragraph, 500-word kind of essays. And so I figured there's got to be a better way to do this, right? So I started my own blog.
Did you know it was a blog at that moment?
No,
in
I
time?
Didn't know his site was, but I'd want to start something like what he was doing, you know.
Okay.
So I looked around and I found B2 Evolution.
Yeah,
at the
one
time.
Of the first blog engines.
Yeah, it was WordPress before there was WordPress,
yeah.
Right? And started a blog and failed.
And failed?
Oh yeah, because I wrote about politics and sports and music, and it was like I wanted to write like 30 times a day. You know, and so I just got burnt out in like 2 weeks. And later started Ensite with 7 friends. Ensite was originally a group blog.
Really?
There were 8 of us.
I haven't found this anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, Aaron Brazell from TechnoSailor is our server admin at B5, and he was one of the original Ensite authors as well.
So, actually, you took the cream from Ensite. That's not very nice of you.
Well, to be fair, there were only actually 2 of us writing on the blog. And Aaron and I got in a bit of a fight, and so I decided to keep the blog, and he decided to stop blogging. And, you know, we've made up since then. But, yeah, I guess I started blogging because of a PHP guy and fell in love with it 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah, actually June 2003.
Yeah, June 2003.
I've seen the archives on on Ensite. Yeah, so happy birthday for that.
Well,
and happy birthday
you.
for your actual birthday, because it was, I think, 4 days ago?
The 30th of June, yeah.
Whoa, my cousin, which is here, he's Vlad, he's helping us on the chat. He's born on...
He was probably both. It was a really important day for him.
Yeah, he's born on 30th of June, so happy birthday to you both then.
Yeah.
You are how old? Because everybody would think that a guy that had success in the internet and stuff like that might be older. Might be.
I'm 43.
43. Yeah, I have a friend. I had a guest that said he was 17 when he was actually 25. So why not?
No, I'm 20.
27.
27, yes. It's like, you know, your birthday just takes you like 3 months to remember how old you are, you know? Yeah, I'm 27 now, yeah.
So you are 27. That's a lot of success achieved for a 27 guy. Well, especially, yeah, especially in the blogging world, I think. Well, tell me, I'm single. For everybody out there.
Beautiful girl standing beside you. What are you doing talking to me?
Yeah, well, actually, this is my job. Beside me, it's Tina from perfectlyimperfect.blogspot.com. So she's busy right now. I'm busy talking to you and everybody else. We'll talk about this after the show.
Oh, but, well, hello.
You are happily married.
That's a nice kind of change in topic.
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure.
Happily married, wedding ring, yeah, happily
and,
married.
And you have two kids, I think.
Yeah, I've got two beautiful boys. Evan is 3 years old and just started soccer.
3 years old?
Football.
No, soccer is okay, we understand.
Anyways, he just started soccer. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen three-year-olds play soccer. It's like running around the field, chasing the ball, screaming, crying, laughing, falling. It's fantastic.
Everything but the ball.
Well, exactly, right? It's amazing. And Alex is 1.5, and last week figured out how to ride his tricycle, which makes Evan mad because Evan hasn't figured out how to ride the tricycle yet.
3 years old, yeah, but you can tell Evan, well, you're playing soccer, your brother is.
Yeah, right, that goes over real well.
Well, that is great. I wanted to tell everybody about your family and the fact that you are actually young. You're my age.
Because I'm younger than you.
Yeah, you are younger than me, but we don't have to say that online. You really are everybody else. Everybody else can achieve the same success
Yes, sorry, I was kind of confused by me being everyone else. I often have dreams like that, you know, where I am everyone. Yes.
I think that those kind of dreams might be in a different category. You should speak to somebody else, not to me.
Yeah, it's really confusing when you're like, you're the bride, you're the groom, you're the minister in a dream. It's anyways.
You know, the problem is not being the groom or the minister to
it's
you.
It's the bride, right? Yeah. Gosh, okay. This is going on radio. I really should be careful what I say.
I mean,
I'm just some regular guy. I mean, for some reason, people in Romania think I'm something special. And while I appreciate the compliment, I think anyone can do what I've done. I mean, I stumbled into blogging, I stumbled into being a designer, I stumbled into being a developer, I stumbled into writing a book, I stumbled into a blog network. So, really, I'm just clumsy.
Well, you know? You don't look like.
You haven't seen me play basketball yet, so.
Hopefully not.
Yes.
Tell me, what are you doing right now, and tell me, what is your background? What are you doing in this moment?
What am I up to lately? Yeah. I mean, I run B5 Media, which is a blog network, fairly big blog network, and there are four founders: Darren Rouse from Plural Blogger, Duncan Riley, who used to do Blog Herald, and Shai Coggins, who's also Australian, about weblogs.
About weblogs, blogging for women, something like
So
a women network.
Yeah, so they joined B5 October, maybe, last
year?
Yeah,
I know the moment.
So, so that's what I do, is B5. I mean, it's amazing, you know, because it's like got this life of its own, you know.
How many bloggers do you have in B5 Media?
Goodness. I could check on the admin system now, but somewhere between 80 and 90.
So many bloggers.
Yeah.
This is quite a number.
Yeah.
And they are blogging for money. This is one important thing to know. Okay. Tell me about your background. How did you come to blogging? Well, I've read on your nsite.org, on your bio, that you used to do a lot of stuff before actually starting to blog.
Yeah, I'm kind of schizophrenic with my career. Do you have this word, schizophrenic?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was a designer first, and then I was a developer, like programming and stuff, and then I was a camera guy, like did behind-the-scenes camera work. What else did I do? I was a youth pastor for a while, and
a youth pastor.
Yeah, like in churches and stuff. And I helped run the Y2K project in England.
Yeah.
what else? I don't know. I worked at a few .coms. I was a server guy at a hospital in Canada.
You got there right at the boom of the .coms.
Well, no, more like 2000. More like I was there 3 months, and then the company went under. So,
well, this might raise some questions about.
What can I say? Right place, wrong time. I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about blogging revolution. You came to Romania. Let's talk about Romania. If you want a break, just tell me. Everybody says I'm giving them too much music, so maybe. But let's talk about blogging revolution. Yeah, don't start dancing, please. Not yet. Why a revolution?
Well, to be fair, I didn't pick the title.
Okay, but you have to have some ideas.
No, I think it's important. I mean, we don't have revolutions in Canada, you know, so I don't know if this is a revolution or not. But I think it's really important. I think Romania is a fantastic country, and the bloggers I've met in Romania have been just incredibly smart and incredibly, you know, they know their stuff, they know their industry, they know blogging, they're all succeeding, you know? And so, in some ways, it's like, you know, sure, I'm coming to talk to the professional people and the companies and stuff, but the people in Romania already know most of what I know. You know, it's not like I have anything really unique to say. But for whatever reason, you know, sometimes you need an outsider to come in and kind of just kick things off, right? So that's what I was really hoping to do. Excuse me.
No problem.
Was to come in and just kind of say, okay, you know, here's some basic knowledge about blogging that every company should know. Oh, and by the way, you guys have a flipping massive resource here in Romania that can teach you everything else you need to know. You know, you don't need to keep inviting in foreign people because there's so many awesome bloggers here. Why shouldn't you be talking to them?
By the way, talking about that, yeah. After the conference, did you speak to any of the person that attended the conference? And I'm not talking about bloggers like me or something like that, but I'm talking about CEOs maybe that went to the conference. Did any of them actually thought of asking a Romanian blogger for help?
Well, the problem was that I had interviews right after the conference, so I didn't get to talk to a lot of people. All the journalists I talked to said they were going to start blogging, and there were a few interesting people there. There was the violinist.
I don't know all the person that were invited there.
You know, so he decided he was going to start blogging, and several of the journalists decided they were going to start blogging, and some government people were there, and they decided they were going to start blogging.
Politics.
you know, so I mean, everyone seemed really kind of to realize this was important, you know, and even if it's not going to change the world, even if it's not going to be this massive revolution that changes everything in Romania, it's so cheap and it's so easy and it's so effective that, you know, companies are, I think, starting to understand that this is something they should be looking at, you know?
We're coming to a point. You said about journalists wanting to become bloggers. Journalists wanting to start blogging.
Yes.
But is it really necessary for a blogger to be a professional writer? Because journalists are professional writers, after all.
Yeah, I don't think bloggers need to be professional writers at all. I mean, a blogger talks about what they're passionate about. You know, whether you're blogging for money or whether you're blogging for a company or just blogging for yourself, you need to be enjoying it and you need to have passion for what you're writing for, right? Otherwise, it's just some Joe job that, you know, you hate. And there's no point in that, you know? So I don't think, you know, bloggers, just because journalists are coming in, need to all of a sudden become professional. I think that as long as bloggers can show journalists what's important, that's really where it's at, you know? Because journalists don't quite get blogging, right?
They're writing for a newspaper,
yeah,
actually, even if the medium is online.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them, you know, blogging's so new, it's so kind of different that they don't quite get it. So I think bloggers have a huge opportunity to, you know, show journalists, here's what blogging's about, so, and here's how you do it really, really well.
So who could start a blog? Who should start a blog?
I could start a blog.
Yeah, I know. I could either, but really, is there a certain type of person that should start a blog, that should start writing in a blog?
Ooh, everyone asks the question, and the easy answer is everyone can blog, right?
I agree with you, but
sure, anyone
coming
can.
From you?
Yeah, I mean, I think people with something to say, and people with a really good voice, and people who are funny. I mean, there's not enough funny bloggers in the world. There's way too many people who think they're important and are actually boring assholes. Oh, sorry. I can't really say that on the radio.
Well,
a little bit late now, yes. Jeremy Wright, you're getting invited back to Romania again. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes, I'm going to have fun at the Romanian border.
Yeah, well, not really.
It was actually really... I mean, I came into the border, and everyone was really nice, and... You know, it was like no visa required.
You know,
I thought there was a visa.
It's not that easy to go when... It's not that easy when you want to go out.
Really?
Really.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get up before 3 in the morning then.
Yeah, just to be sure you'll be there when the plane leaves. So, final question in this round of questions that actually presented the whole blogging idea. What is blogging? What is a... pro blogger, because you are a pro blogger.
Well, I'm not really anymore. I was a pro blogger, but now I make money running a blog network. So I'm not really a pro blogger because I don't make my money from blogging, right?
Directly from blogging.
To me, a professional blogger is someone who loves what they do and blogs and makes money.
So,
you know,
making money, because this is a question I want to ask.
Yeah.
You're making money from a blogging network, okay? You actually manage the blogging network.
Yeah.
You're the manager, not a writer.
Yeah.
Of course, you write on Ansite and probably one or two more
An
more
American
books.
Idol blog, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody has to have his own hobbies.
Yeah, it's my secret shame.
And but Darren at problogger.net said at some point that being a pro blogger means not necessarily winning money directly from the blog, but from the whole idea of blogging.
Well, like... I think being a professional blogger means writing, blogging, and making money from it. But I think anyone who does this knows that there are opportunities that come by being just a really good blogger. You know, I mean, for me, it was the book and it was B5 and stuff. But for other people, it's, you know, opportunities to, you know, be in a band or to do a clothing line. I mean, there's all kinds of things that come from being just a really smart blogger, you know. So, yeah, I mean, to me, professional blogger means, you know, your blog, you get paid. But who cares what I think, right? I mean,
well, you'd be surprised.
Well, I don't care what I think. How's that?
Okay. So for all those out there that hated when I put some music, here is some music for you. We'll take a break and we'll come back in about 3 minutes. Yeah, you might have heard some some bumps. Jeremy was...
apparently humping the table, yeah.
I just didn't want to say that. So, we have a question from our
chat room.
Yeah.
Hi, chat room.
What makes you one of the best bloggers in the world?
I don't think I am. And Technorai says I'm not even in the top 1,000. I mean, I love blogging. You know, it's in my head. When I think of an idea, my first thought is, wow, I should blog this. And, you know, when someone, you know, suggests, you know, what do you think about politics or something, I'm really kind of thinking about blogging. You know, I mean, blogging is part of the way I think now. You know, I think that most people who do blogging a lot feel the same way. You know,
yeah.
Like, you have this great idea and your first thought isn't, wow, I should call my mom
and blog about
your first thought is, I should blog about it. Maybe later you call your mom and you give her the link, right? I mean, I don't know.
It's a lot more easier, actually.
You know, I mean, so I guess for me, blogging is just kind of part of who I am. And that's so cheesy to say. It sounds so like Oprah that, you know, blogging changed my life. But for me, it really did. I mean, I don't have some silly dead-end job anymore. And I get to fly to Romania and meet great people, and I get to, you know, write a book and stuff. So blogging really did change my life, and I don't know what makes me a great blogger. I don't really think I am. you know, I blog maybe once a week, so I'm really not a very good example of a blogger, you know?
Well, you used to be at least one.
There you go.
You used to
so
be
what does
one.
It take to no longer be a great blogger?
No, this I don't care to know yet. Anyway, I have a small announcement to make. I've talked to Jeremy during the music break, and we came to the conclusion that we might just chat about blogging.
Oh, yes.
Not
sorry.
Having.
I thought you were going to announce our engagement or something. You just sounded so serious. You know? Yeah, well, I have an announcement to make.
Well, let's hope.
My wife might be a little bit upset.
And let's hope the pictures won't be out.
Oh, we had some great pictures during the photo shoot, eh?
Yeah,
Bobby's all embarrassed, you know?
Well, not really embarrassed.
No, you got all red in the face, and I'm sure it's not because I'm just that hot, you know?
No, it was because of the powerful light.
Oh, yes, the
and,
powerful light. Yeah.
We're just going to chat about blogging. Feel free to drop in with a question every now and then, or every time, because Vlad on chat will take the questions and wave a hand to us and
to
say,
us, yeah.
Look,
stop talking, we have a question.
Okay.
You jerks.
Okay, so let's say you would be starting a blog right now with all the knowledge you have already. What kind of a blog would you start, or where would you start? Let's create a beginner's path to blogging.
Okay, well, my kind of big advice whenever you're starting blogging is, what are your passions, right? And so for me, it's business, technology, music, and my family. You know, so I've already got Insight, which does business and technology, kind of. But, you know, so the areas I'm not really covering are music and my family. And I talk to my family a little bit on Insight, so I'd probably start a music blog. I'm a drummer, so I'd probably start a drummer blog or something. If I was picking a topic for me.
How to choose the drumsticks?
How to choose drumsticks, yeah. Find the cheapest ones, because I break them so fast.
You might be drumming actually with some Chinese sticks or something like that. Are you sure they're drummer sticks?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. They're drumsticks, yeah.
Okay, so you would start in an area you know and you love.
Area I know. I mean, for me, because if you're going to do it every day, you have to love it, right? And you have to really have a lot to say and have a lot of experience and really be passionate, right? So for me, you know, music is the next area that I'm not blogging about. So I would probably blog about music.
Okay. You've decided, you've woken up, you know, one day and said, okay, I want to have a blog. It will be about music. What's the next step? Choosing the platform.
Well, for me, that's easy. I'm a huge, huge WordPress fan, right?
So am I.
I use MovableType. I used to run a blog consulting company, so I've used almost every platform out there to varying degrees, you know, and WordPress just feels so familiar, you know, and comment spam sucks, and, you know, sometimes there aren't the plugins you want, you know, to do the things you want, but WordPress is really, really cool, and it's really easy to set up.
Well, in time, you know how to make your own plugins and actually achieve what you want to.
Yeah, if you're not lazy, yeah, you do.
Well, this is a own-hosted blogging platform.
Yeah.
But for a total beginner in blogging, and especially in the internet, actually, mm-hmm. What would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend self-hosted, mainly because people who start with, you know, Blogspot and TypePad and that kind of thing often want to move. And the biggest reason they don't move is because it's really, really hard, you know, and you lose readers and whatever, right? So I probably wouldn't start hosted, and I don't use them enough to know which one's best. You know, I mean, maybe Blogger's really improved. Maybe Yahoo 360 is actually really quite nice and not just about Yahoo Instant Messenger anymore.
Well,
you know,
Yahoo,
I don't really know, you know.
Let's not push it, Yahoo 360.
You know, maybe MSN Spaces isn't quite as slow and cluggy as it was when it launched.
WordPress.com might be
Probably go with WordPress.com, even though you don't get a lot of customization options yet. And Matt, you know, Matt knows everyone wants it, right?
Yeah.
So Matt's not ignoring the request. It's just not an easy thing to do, right? See, I probably would go with WordPress.com just because it's WordPress, right?
But anyway, if you had the chance, you would use self-hosted
WordPress. Yeah, give it a choice. Yeah, if I didn't have money, though, and needed to go hosted, yeah, I'd probably use WordPress.com.
Well, especially since programs like, I don't know, Fantastico or One Click Install in Dreamhost package actually install WordPress for you.
Exactly.
But you have to understand, they install the default installation of WordPress.
Yeah.
Actually, in order to put plugins, in order to create templates, to add new themes, as you know, you'd have to know some FTP and stuff like that. It might be a lot more difficult. Okay, so you've chosen your platform.
Yay me.
Yay you, yeah. So you have your first post, Hello World, with a comment.
It's a tradition, right?
With a comment from...
No, see, I delete the default post and just put up a new Hello World post because it's so tradition now, you know?
Yeah, but you have to understand, with the first post, it comes the first comment from Mr. WordPress.
Yes, so Mr. WordPress.
You have to respect...
He's everyone's best friend. It's like Tom on MySpace, right?
Yeah.
Just the most active commenter in the world.
So, okay, you've got the blogging.
Yep.
You have the Hello World post. So what do you do? You call all your friends, you announce them, come on, look, I have a blog?
No. I mean, I would put a design on it. I'd probably go to monster templates or templatemonster.com and see if any of the WordPress ones worked for a music blog, because they're really quite nice templates. You know, they're 50, 60 bucks or whatever, so they're kind of expensive. But I would see if one was perfect. And if one was perfect, great. Otherwise, I'd hop over to Alex King's, you know, theme
even
browser.
Even on the codecs of WordPress, they have links to sites with templates.
So I'd probably look around to try and find a template that worked. If it didn't, you know, I'd probably spend a few hours in Photoshop making one for myself. But I'm lazy, so I'd really rather get someone else's and just, you know, make it work, right?
We're talking about a beginner here.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a huge amount of template resources out there. I mean, you know, there's some really high-end ones and some lower-end ones and some good free ones, and there's some amazing free ones. And, you know, so I'd probably try and find a template that worked. Maybe change the header image or something so it didn't look like everyone else's. You know, and then start writing. You know, I mean, I'd do the design, and then I'd start finding other blogs to read in the area. So I'd find, you know, 20, 30 music blogs and subscribe to them. And, you know, over a course of a week, I'd find the 5 to 10 that I really, really liked and, you know, just stay subscribed to them. And then I'd start writing, you know, and I wouldn't tell anyone until I got to at least 10, 15, 20 posts.
Would you comment on those blogs? On the blogs?
On my own blogs?
No, of course not.
Mr. WordPress.
No, on the 5, 10 music blogs that you would find during that week.
Anything that interests me, anything I have a thought on, I would, you know, turn around and comment on those. I mean, because end of the day, you know, you have to be part of the community that exists in that topic. You know, if you're writing a blog about, you know, cat earrings, then you want to find all the other cat earring bloggers and comment on their blogs, and not to get traffic so much, just as because you're joining a community. You know, you don't want to be separate because that's no fun, right? It's much more
Absolutely.
Fun to, you know, to build those relationships and have some fun and have some conversations and blog back and forth and all that kind of thing, right? And that doesn't happen unless you get involved.
Being flamed on a post or two, being...
Well, comes with the territory, right?
Okay, so you have your blog, you've started, you've already written 15, 20, 20 posts, and you start announcing the blog. What would be the tools that you use for announcing the blog? Of course, without the phone. We're not taking the phone into consideration and your instant messaging tool, whatever it is.
I'm actually a big fan of soft launches, so I probably wouldn't even... I mean, I'd write a post on Ensite saying that, you know, I've got a new blog and that kind of thing, but I wouldn't, like, email 1,000 people or buy any blog ads or buy any Advert ads or anything. I'd probably just keep on writing, you know? I mean, I don't know why, but I'm just a huge fan of, you know, earn your traffic.
Well, actually, in Romania, you're bound to make a soft launch, you know, because you really don't have too much of an opportunity to make a more powerful launch. You don't have something like...
I have friends that email like 5,000 people and spend like $500 in advertising to launch their blogs and that kind of thing, and I just don't do that. And at B5, we don't do that either. We just say, by the way, there's a new blog, right? And I'm... it's just my personality, right? It's like, if people want to find it, they'll find it. You know, if I've got good content, it's cliche, and it's not always true, but if I've got good content, hopefully they'll come.
Okay, you know? Hopefully they'll come.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of those...
You said at the conference that there's one reader for every blog.
Yeah, I mean, someone did the math, right? On average, taking MSN Spaces and Yahoo 360 and MySpace and Friendster and all that kind of stuff, that for every blog, there's on average one reader, and that's really depressing, right?
Fortunately, this is not the case with our blog.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't even care how much traffic I get, because it's just my personal one now, right? I mean, when Insight was, you know, something that brought me money and, you know, something that really paid the bills, then I cared. But these days, it's like, you know, I get a comment and I'm happy. You know?
Well, probably if I would have 200,000 visitors, I would say I don't care about traffic.
No, but I probably don't even look at my stats even once a month anymore.
Really? You
know? I mean, it's just, I used to be obsessive. But as soon as I had this Insight went from through this transformation, right? Well, yeah, but it went through this transformation. It was a group blog, right? And then it was my blog on business and technology and blogging, you know, and I wrote 3, 4, 5 times a day, and I checked the traffic all the time, you know, and now when I transitioned it to my personal blog, I mean, all of a sudden I don't care, you know, it's just, it's mine, you know, and I write about things I care about, and I write about my family, and I post pictures of my kids. I mean, it's not all family personal stuff, but when I changed the title to Jeremy Writes Personal Blog, it all of a sudden became low pressure, you know, so I don't look at the stats. You know, I think the last time I looked was maybe 3 weeks ago.
Well, you haven't reached a month yet. You should look tomorrow.
Well, that's it. I look at Technorati 8 times a day, right? So.
Okay, so we're coming to tools that help you increase traffic.
Yes.
Which other tools you would recommend to a beginner blogger?
Because post porn. No, sorry.
this got me all by surprise because I was thinking, what site is that?
Postporn.com. Let's go there right now. Actually, let's see what's there. Hang on a second. I'm
okay,
go
so Jeremy is testing postporn.com.
Well, it's not landing.domainsponsor.com. Okay, that's not
okay. So it's not anything.
So it's taken though.
Yeah,
the domain is taken, so we can't start a blog called Postporn.
Yeah, actually bad, you can actually. Because you can auction that.
Well, yeah, buy it for like $1,000, right?
Yeah, probably.
They have Post Secret. We can have Postporn. Business ideas coming out of nowhere. You
know? Yeah, not really. Okay,
sorry. Tools you would use to increase traffic
as a beginner, because as you advance, you use more advanced tools, and those are usually
now
expensive.
Do you mean to track how your blog's doing, or do you mean to get traffic?
Both of them, especially getting traffic.
Well, why don't we kind of cover the getting traffic bit?
Okay.
A bit?
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's a lot of really good tools for getting traffic. I think there's lots of tips and lots of small ways to increase your blog's kind of, you know, how powerful it is and how much Google loves it and how much readers will read and that kind of stuff. But I don't think there's a lot of tools that are going to really help you increase traffic. And
so which are the tools that exist even if they're not? After all, Technorati is a tool.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of tracking my links and stuff, I use Technorati 5-6 times a day.
Technorati is used for increasing traffic. I know a lot of bloggers that do.
Oh, we get lots of traffic from Technorati. I mean, you use tags and you get traffic, and you have posts and you get traffic, and you go up in rank and you get traffic. I mean, yeah, you get traffic from Technorati. But I use Technorati mainly to check links and to check mentions for my name and to see lots of Romanian posts that I can't read. You know,
we'll make translation for you. Write
there
me
you
an
go.
Email and
there
I'll
you
translate.
You know, so that's what I use Technorati for, is just because I'm obsessive about links. Even if I'm not obsessive about traffic, I want to find people who are talking about me, because I'm a blogger and that's what we do.
We're egotistical.
Yeah, well, thank God, right? What would the world be without bloggers?
Hopefully we'll never find out.
Yes, hopefully. So I use Technorati for tracking links. On my server, I have AWS Stats for stats. We use Performancing to give us some more stats.
Yeah, especially the AdSense stats, which
yeah, and we actually serve AdSense through our ad server. So we have an ad server, and we serve AdSense through it so that we can see if there's a discrepancy in impressions.
Are you premium publishers?
No.
Not yet.
No. Well, I don't know.
You
we haven't
have
been
to
told
have,
we are.
I think you have to have 5 million page impressions.
Oh, then
it was
yeah.
Something like that. 5 million page impressions or 20 million search queries.
Yeah, we don't push Google search, so I think we're probably pretty close to 5 million page impressions. I'm not sure yet.
I could check,
but anyways. So I don't think we are, but we've got a pretty good relationship with Google. You know, we work with the AdSense optimization team, and we have a Google rep and that kind of stuff. So I don't think we're a premium publisher yet. They haven't told us we are.
You're a premium publisher if you are. You have those supplemental codes.
No, we don't.
Supplemental tags.
No, we don't. So there you go. So we're just a loser publisher.
Yeah, you are. To remove ads by Google or stuff like that.
Gotcha. So no. So we track our AdSense because we serve it through our ad server, so we can see exactly how many AdSense impressions we're serving. And when that doesn't match with Google's side, we know. You know, and our ad server will track clicks as well, so when that doesn't match with Google's side, we know. So a good example is 2 weeks ago, we had a day where we served 400,000 impressions and had 812,000 clicks.
800?
I was like, you know, you look at it and it's like, because you sort by clicks, right? And it's like 800,000 clicks in a day. What? How many millions of impressions do we have? And it was like we had less impressions than clicks.
No, I know your CTR, but you'd be breaking toast. You know that.
No, we emailed them. We emailed our rep and said, we don't know what happened. And for the 800,000 clicks, we earned $1.22.
Oh, my God.
So you used to think there was a 1 cent minimum on clicks? No, my friend. We are talking like thousands of cents. So I think Google actually caught it and adjusted the actual earnings, but never adjusted the clicks.
Yeah, someone really left you at that point.
Yeah, so I wanted to post on the B5 blog, you know, look, we got almost 1 million clicks in one day. Aren't we big? You know? But someone would have asked how much we made.
Okay, we have reached the point where we have a blog, we promote it in search engines, we follow the links by Technorati and the stats by AW Stats. Which are the biggest mistakes that a blogger can do and eventually would lead to failure of that blog, in your opinion?
I don't know, that's a good question. I mean, obviously stopping blogging.
Well,
that's usually
is not a mistake. It's a consequence of something in your life. Because I was talking to a blogger at the conference yesterday, and he would say, do you really know someone that stopped blogging? Not for a month or two, but really stopped blogging? And really, I don't know anybody.
Yeah, I do know I guess the biggest thing you can do wrong with blogging is to keep blogging when you don't actually love it anymore. You know, I mean, as bloggers, we feel like a sense of responsibility to our readers or something. But if the reason you're blogging is for yourself and because you love it, if it becomes work and it becomes stressful, I'd take a 2-week break. You know, take some time off, have some fun, go to the beach, kiss Bobby, you know? Whatever it takes to blow off steam, you know?
Okay, we will have a conversation.
His phone number is... Shate.
You don't know my phone number, so...
I can count to three, I think. And,
you know what I mean? So, basically, the biggest mistake is losing passion.
Yeah, I think it really is. I mean, there's... I don't see why bloggers would keep blogging when they don't enjoy it anymore. You know, it's like, oh, I can keep making money, or my traffic might go down, or my visitors might leave. But who cares? I mean, if the reason we're blogging is because we love it, then take a break. Come back. You'll be a better blogger. You'll get better traffic. You'll write better posts. You'll make more money, refreshed, than you will flipping out and stressing and stuff. And that was one of my biggest mistakes, was thinking that I had to write every day.
Blogging burnout.
Way to overcome blogging burnout is to stop blogging, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like writer's block, right? You get away from the computer. You step away for a few hours. You go to the park, you kiss Bobby, you come back, you keep writing, right?
You really have an obsession.
Well, I can't wait for the pictures all, you know?
Man, those pictures won't be public, I promise.
Vlad, it was a good picture, right, Vlad? Say. See, you're not the one with the camera, so you don't get to control if the picture gets public or not.
Well, I might want to come here and... They might want to come here and make another show, maybe with you, maybe not with you. But... You know, talking about kissing me and postporn.com is not the best way to increase popularity. Or who knows?
Who knows, right? I mean, we'll find out. Maybe okay. I'll check my stats tomorrow, right?
Okay, we'll have another 2 minutes of music, and dancing. We'll have a drink and we'll come back and talk about okay, you've took your blog to a certain level. What makes you become a professional blogger, a pro blogger at that level?
Okay.
Okay. Do you agree with me?
I don't have much of a choice. Yeah, of course.
It's so good, you
of
know.
Of course.
88 months ago, if I would say, Jeremy, do you agree with me? You'd probably say, who the hell are you? Right now, you'd say, I have no choice.
Yeah, I'm trapped in this little room.
It's actually becoming better and better by the day. So we're back on air. Jeremy, hi. How are you?
I'm just getting my picture taken. Don't mind me.
If you hear some clicks, you have to say it's our photographer, Florin, who takes pictures.
Hi, everybody.
Anyway, a message for our Romanian listeners. Motivul pentru care... Și vorbesc acum pentru cei de pe chat care nu înțeleg limba engleză. Motivul pentru care... am ales să nu traducem acest interviu este că ar fi trebuit să fie un translator care să înțeleagă și termenii specifici bloggingului, altfel am fi avut surpriza ca mesajul transmis de Jeremy să nu fie înțeles. Vom publica, sper în săptămânile următoare, pentru că va lua ceva timp să traducem 2 ore de discuție, vom publica toată discuția pe... atât pe site-ul radioului, cât și pe blogul meu, așa că veți putea afla ceea ce a spus Jeremy, mai puțin glumele despre mine, care nu au relevanță. Jeremy, I told them that they will find a translation of the interview on my site, on the radio site, without the jokes about me, because really... they have no relevance for the blogging world.
Oh, and come on, the jokes are fun.
Yeah, they are. When they're live and on radio. Anyway, just before going further on how to become a pro blogger, what is a pro blogger, and is it possible to be a pro blogger, let me say hi to some of the people on chat, like Alinush, Angelique, Bot234, I think is a robot, but we'll say hi anyway.
Hi.
Cold as Ice, Cosmo, Ivo, Habibi, Komodo, Lost, Lucian, Ilica, Q, Răzgândeanu, Razor, Steluța, 127001, local host, and
big
WM.
Big shout out to WM.
Yeah, actually WM is one of my friends. I'll say again, hi, how are you, Mihai?
Mihai, I met yesterday, yeah?
No, not that
different
one.
Mihai. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I met. He's a father recently. He's become a father.
Oh, congratulations,
and
Mihai.
He should start a blog about being a father.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd read it.
You'd read it? Yeah, but you're kind of advanced for that kind of blog.
What can I say? I'm the man.
Yeah, you're
I'm advanced.
Man. So, okay. How about pro blogging?
How about it?
Can you make a living of blogging?
No.
Really? I would say differently, but anyway, I'll let you say. Why no?
No. No, you can. I mean... yeah, I think it's often really hard to make a living with one blog, and so you end up becoming a professional writer, you know, and you kind of use blogs as the way you write, and you become a little bit of a professional advertiser, because you have to learn the ad networks and placement and what works, and you become a little bit of a professional designer, because you have to learn to, you know, change colors so they work properly. I think that professional bloggers are like some of the most diverse people in the world, because they need... a little bit of design skill, a little bit of programming skill, a little bit of ad skill, a little bit of writing skill, you know, on and on and on. There's so many skills you need to be a real quality professional blogger, so I have nothing but respect, and yeah, you can definitely become one.
If it's okay to say, we were talking while coming to radio about the income that would be necessary for a Romanian to live, let's say, okay.
Yeah.
And I would say around $1,000 a month.
$1,000 US, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think is is this amount of money obtainable by blogging? We're talking right now. We're talking about blogging in the English language. We're gonna go to Romanian blogs right
later.
A few moments later. But do you think you could obtain some $1,000 in blogging?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's easy, because the truth is you probably have to put in 3, 4, 5 hours a day almost every day for like 6 months, you know, so you can do it. I think anyone that knows some subject and is really passionate and doesn't mind putting the work in can do it. But when I started doing it, I was working a full-time job and writing like 5, 6 hours a day, you know, so I was working crazy hours, and eventually it started happening, you know. So sure, you can do it. You probably need several blogs, and you probably need to be writing 5, 6, 7, 10 posts a day, and you probably need to let it, like, do it for 4, 5, 6 months. So sure, you can do it, but it's not the easiest career in the world. You know, there are easier things you could do to make some money. But once you've made that $1,000, I mean, it's like the first $100 is the hardest. You know, that first
I knew that the first $1,000,000 is the hardest.
No. The first $100 is the hardest. Screw the first million. That's easy. No, I don't know if it's easy or not. But the first $100 is the hardest. Getting to that $2, $3 a day mark, whether it's AdSense or anything else, that first $100 a month is the hardest. After that, you just need to make sure your traffic grows and you place your ads just a little bit better every month, and you get just a little bit better advertisers, and you get just a little bit better mix. You know, and then things start happening. You know, but once you get to that first $100, it's just a matter of kind of seeing it go up every month. You know, so yeah, it's possible. I think you need to be really smart about it and be prepared to work and be prepared to fail, because some blogs just don't work for whatever reason. You know, even I've had blogs that don't work. Right, it's not like I'm some superstar at this and everything I do turns to gold. Right, but I would say that someone that's willing to put in the work can definitely make a living professionally.
And how much time? How much time do you think? Okay, don't give me 3 months or something like that. But how much time do you think a starting blogger would need to hit the $1,000 mark?
Probably about 6 months. I mean, that's what I think. 6 months is kind of the magic mark, you know. So if someone who's never blogged before wants to make $1,000 a month, it's probably going to take them 2, 3, 4 hours a day, you know. 5, 6, 7 days a week for about 6 months to
really?
Hit that mark.
I had an idea that it was more than that.
No. I think that, you know, if you've got, put it this way. So you start 3 or 4 blogs, you know, you write a couple of posts a day in each of them, you do it for a few months, you get some good links going, you get your page rank up to 5, hopefully 6 if you're really lucky, you know. But you get up to 5. And then you sell some text links, you do some Google ads, you get your traffic up to 1,000 pages a day, and you're flying. I mean, 1,000 pages a day, you should be making, you know, a dollar-ish per blog.
Yeah.
You know, that's $5 a day in blogging. Your text link ads at PageRank of 5 for 5 sites is going to be $500 a month, you know, so that's $650 right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we lost our background because I forgot to press a button. Anyway, coming back. Okay. You are talking about writing 7, 10 posts a day.
Yeah.
How many posts a day for a successful blog?
Well, I mean, the minimum is 1, right? I mean, I think the magic number is 2. But if you look at the most successful blogs, they write more than that. You know, TechCrunch, Scoble, ProBlogger, they all write, you know, 4 or 5 plus posts per day.
And Gadget, I think, writes 10, 15.
Well, yeah, 20. But there's like 10, 15 writers, right? So
yeah.
They write a couple posts a day each, right? You know, so it really depends what level you want to hit. And I think the problem is that in the first 6 months, if you write 5, 6 posts a day, you're not going to see that much more traffic than writing 1 or 2.
I understand.
You know, I think that as a professional writer or a professional blogger or, you know, trying to be a professional blogger, you need to be really smart about your time. You know, I mean, to me, it's far better to write, you know, 5 or 6 blogs with 2 posts a day than it is to write 1 blog with 10 posts a day.
Okay, so you start writing, everything is going your way, you start making money.
Congratulations.
What?
Congratulations.
I was thinking about my next question, and you really got me by surprise.
Well, anyway, I can do that sometimes.
Anyway, You made me forget. You made me totally forget my question. Come on, man. Really, answer a question, any question.
No, I won't marry you. It's okay. Not legal.
Okay.
You remember now?
No, I didn't, but I will make up a new one. You're starting to make money. You're living a good life. What's the next step after pro blogging?
Well, I think that if you've hit a certain level, you're making $1,000 a month, you know, I would do one of two things. Either I would sell off your blogs that are making $500 a month or more, and you can probably get $5,000 to $10,000 for them each. And
we should talk to you because you brokered some blogs, but you said you retired something.
Yeah, I did a few and that was enough, right? You know, so you can probably make $5,000 or $10,000 per blog, and just focus on the ones you really love, right? Because it's one of those things that sometimes you have to go wide first. Wide. There we go. First, and then go deep, right? So say you've got 5 or 6 blogs and you get them to a certain point, and they're making a few hundred dollars a month each. I would then turn around and sell off 2 or 3 of them and focus on the 1 or 2 you really, really love. You know, and make those into blogs that are making $500 or $1,000 a month each. You know, just really drill in and become the one who, you know, is the best
Something.
Yeah, for something. I was going to make up some silly example, but the best at something, you know. You know, because you're obviously good at it. You know, if you can bring yourself to $1,000 a month with 5 blogs, then you can bring yourself to $1,000 a month with 2. You know, it's just a matter of working at it. And the truth is that once you've done that, once you're only writing 2 blogs and a couple posts a day, you've got lots of time to do some really fun things. Maybe you do some consulting. Maybe you start a e-commerce store. I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. Maybe you, you know, start writing articles for newspapers and for magazines, because blogging is really good at helping you practice your language and communication skills. Maybe you start a creative blog so that one day you can write a book. I don't know, but I think that once you get to a certain point, you should look at what you love and look at what you want to do next, and then start doing that.
And we're getting to another question. Which are the biggest advantages of blogging? You are talking about starting to write for newspapers and stuff like that, and this is actually personal branding, because you become known for your name, you become known
wearing
for
really
who
nice
you are.
Shirts, yeah.
Yeah, you become known by coming to Radio Links and being on the live camera and some stuff like that. What would be the biggest advantages beside the actual money earning?
Well, I mean, to me, anytime someone can make money and make a living just from doing what they love, that's like a dream come true. You know, I mean, whether you're passionate about gardening or knitting or graphic design or whatever it is, if you can make a living doing something you love and not doing it for 20 hours a day, but, you know, just working 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, and you have total freedom to do whatever else you want, that's awesome. You know, so whenever I find bloggers that are doing this full time and are only doing what they love, I just like, I mean, these are the real kind of success stories, right?
So. I know. Yeah, I was asking that because in Romania, and here we come to Romania, mm-hmm. and we will be talking about Romanian blogs and some Romanian traits of blogging. In Romania, you really can't be a pro blogger right now.
You mean
unless
in Romanian?
In Romanian,
yeah.
In Romanian, because if you write English posts, that's okay. You can be, if you talk about things that are interesting for an international audience, that would be okay. Mm-hmm. You'd be a pro blogger in 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay. I know, but for a Romanian person writing in Romanian, this would be very difficult because we lack a lot of things. We lack AdSense. We have AdSense on. You can put AdSense on Romanian sites, but they bring an income which is Remember that check of 23 cents you said? You said the conference, something like that. We don't have PayPal, so it would be a lot more difficult to start. I don't know, to create an ebook.
Yeah.
And sell it through ClickBank. By the way, ClickBank doesn't accept Romanians.
Yeah, it's nice, eh? It's really a kind of a friendly internet for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, someone on a blog, on a Romanian blog, was saying, Romania, it really isn't a country where you want to be involved in online business. But anyway, we'll be there 3 years from now when it will be better. So, which are the advantages for a Romanian person starting a blog? Because we've decided money is not an issue.
Well, I'm glad we've decided that. I'm sure all the listeners appreciate that we've decided this is easy to make a living blogging, right? Oh boy, nothing like setting up expectations.
Yeah.
Well, I guess to me the big thing is that Romanians are incredibly smart and have a very unique perspective because you have a very unique history. You know, I mean, you guys, I'm not sure there's any other country on earth that has like reclaimed their country as many times as you guys have. You know, I mean, I'm serious.
You took some history lessons while in Romania.
Well, I got some tours around the city from some very pretty girls. So, no, I did.
We are talking about history here. Okay.
Yeah. Well, pretty girls know history too. You know, so I mean, I've been told that you guys have, you know, taken your country back, and that takes a lot of strength and a lot of character, and you know, you have to be really proud of your country to want to keep taking it back. I mean, you could have quit and gone to, you know, Holland or something. You know?
Maybe the others didn't want it and gave it back to us. Come on, take it.
I don't think so. But you know, so I think that because you guys have such a unique and strong history, you guys, your perspective is very unique, and so you guys have a lot you can contribute to the world economy, to the online world, to the blogging world. You know, so if you've managed to succeed in life and earn thousands of dollars a month, and you're just flying, and you're the new media, you know, empire of Romania, then I would probably start looking at what, you know, you as an individual, bloggers as a community, and Romania as a country have to offer to the world. You know, because I think you guys have some really unique things. And I believe, I mean, I've only been here 3-4 days, but I believe that the next, you know, 6, 8, 12 months is going to be huge for Romania, because there's so many amazing people, and we were talking about this in the car, that the network in Romania is, from what I can tell, outside, Westerner, right, is so strong. I mean, you know, everyone knows everyone. You know, I mean, I've seen that so many times. It's like you're sitting in a coffee shop having coffee, and this guy walks by, and all of a sudden everyone's talking, and someone else walks by, and he's, you know, it's like, it's amazing to watch. I've never seen it anywhere else.
Yeah,
you know,
it's quite something funny, because
yeah, go for it.
When I went to Jeremy's place to take him, he came with someone that said, "I know you from somewhere." I said the same, and boom, we realized we were meeting 7 years ago while we were in the university, and we're going to the university, but not going to classes. We're going to another place
to see the pretty girls. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, actually, something like that.
By the way, high subjective. Yes, I am happily married.
So you're kind of right. I have a question from one of the bloggers that were to your conference yesterday. He was in the second or third row, Vladimir. Anyway, he asked me to ask you this question. Sorry.
Okay.
Would you accept Romanian blogs into B5 Media?
In Romanian language or just Romanian bloggers?
Let's say Romanian language, because Romanian bloggers, I'm sure you don't have any problems.
Yeah, I mean, we take in Romanian bloggers who are blogging in English, as long as they have great grammar and stuff. You know, they can spell check and whatever.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you guys have great English blogs already, so I'm not really worried about that. You know, so yeah, definitely. In terms of Romanian language blogs, no.
The audience would be...
No, nothing to do with the audience. I think that the potential audience, I mean, we're talking today, and out of the 20-plus million people in Romania, 12-point-something of them are online, and
okay,
most of them are on broadband. You know, so a great audience, you know, bigger than, about the same size as Canada, really. So no problem with the audience size. It's just that we don't do local blogs. You know, when we do blogs, we do, like, a vertical, like, you know, like travel or entertainment or music. We don't do music, but we might do music. We don't do local blogs yet. Lots of other people do them really well, and I've heard of at least 4 projects to start Romanian blog networks since I've been here. No, 5, because you were saying there's 4 people you know.
Yeah.
Three people you know. So I know of a couple of others outside of the people you know.
It might be the same.
No, actually. I'm pretty sure it's not. So I think that B5 strength isn't local blogs, you know. Not because it's not a great market, just because what we're trying to do is build a massive amount of, you know, kind of English-speaking consumer content. And that's not to say that Romanian blogging isn't hugely valuable, because I think it is. I think it's incredibly important. But we can't do two things at once.
Okay. And another question from the same blogger. It doesn't really relate to blogging, but anyway, here it is. Is there any chance for Romanian...
Hey, Cody.
Is there any chance for Romanian companies to access venture capital from Western countries? And if possible, how would you see a Romanian company having success in obtaining the money to finance some, of course, online projects?
Sure. Well, the simple answer is, yeah, it's possible. So B5 is an American company, even though nobody lives in America.
Yeah.
I'm Canadian, and the three other guys, are, you know, the two guys and the girl, are both Australian.
Australian, yeah.
You know, so we registered the company as a Delaware corporation. And anyone in the world can register a Delaware corporation, which makes you an American company.
And okay? You'd be American... And so, you'd be going for venture capital
as an American company. So yes, Romanians can get venture capital because they're forming an American company.
But we're still Romanians.
Well, you're still in Romania, which makes it really hard to meet with VCs, right?
Not necessarily, but we're still Romanians. We were talking about the fact that Romania doesn't have a pretty nice picture outside. After all, we could tell about your first reaction.
Well,
to Romania.
I mean, I'd heard about Romania, but I didn't know anything, right? So I came here not really knowing what to expect, right? And that's probably pretty true of the rest of the world. I mean, obviously, whenever anyone talks about Romania now, I'm going to have nothing but great things to say because I've loved my time here.
Well, let's hope you won't you won't be mugged or something like that in the next 5 hours.
No, but I mean, that's only one person, right? And I've met probably 50 amazing people. You know, so everyone I talk to about Romania, it's going to be positive, and I'm definitely coming back in November, and hoping to come back once or twice before then. I just love Bucharest. It's one of my top 5 cities, as we were talking about, you know? I mean, it's like Toronto, Montreal, New York, San Francisco, Bucharest, you know?
We're in a very exquisite company, I can say. Yeah, the Big Apple and the Little Paris.
Little Paris, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot what the question was.
Yeah, we were talking about venture capital and if we would have access to that.
So, I mean, the short answer is that if you've got an American corporation, American venture capitalists will invest. Some venture capitalists will invest more in companies that have foreign directors than others. A couple of venture capitalists we've talked to in the past have, you know, done European investments before. Some venture capitalists are America only. Canadian venture capitalists have to have like 90% of their money invested in Canadian companies, so it's hard to convince a Canadian venture capitalist to invest in Europe. But more and more venture capitalists are realizing that, especially in Eastern Europe, there's a huge amount of opportunities happening. So I know of 4 venture capital firms that are doing tours of Europe in the next year.
You should tell us about that.
Well,
let us know.
I'm sending them the emails of a bunch of people here that I think they should talk to. I'll probably include you on that list if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Because there were 2 of them were already planning to come to Romania. 2 weren't, but I'm going to tell them to. Because I really do believe that the next 6, 8, 12 months is going to be huge for you guys. And there's so many opportunities and so much flipping energy here. It's unbelievable. I mean, I can't say, you know, a surefire way to get VC money. Because I haven't yet. You know, if I'd gone through the process, I'd, you know, be all confident and stuff. But if you're a Delaware corporation with a good idea, and you can make a business plan, and you can do a 5-minute pitch, you've got okay odds of at least finding venture capitalists to talk to.
Yeah, it might be the fact that Romanian startups actually need a lot less money than a Western startup.
Yeah, and that's a challenge when trying to find venture capital money, actually.
Really?
Anything less than $1 or $2 million, it's going to be really hard to find venture capitalists for. Just because of the way their business works.
The return on investment would be too small.
Yeah, it's partly that, and it's partly that it really takes them like 60 or 80 or 100 or 200 hours to evaluate a company. And if they're only putting, you know, $100,000 in, well, their time is worth more than that.
I understand.
You know, so it's not just the return on investment. It's also the fact that these are smart people that want to make sure it's a good company. I mean, there are, you know, all this Web 2.0 kind of stuff. You know, there are many VCs are realizing that there are situations where they need to be able to invest, you know, $100,000, $200,000, and that kind of thing. So everyone in the industry is talking about it and talking about how to do smaller deals without having like 1,000 companies they have to manage, you know?
I understand.
But nobody's really figured it out yet. So
it's kind of like micropayments on the internet.
Yeah, you know, it's like everyone knows it's a great idea, but nobody's quite figured out micropayments.
How to implement it in order to make it a valuable business, actually.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So venture capitalists have that same kind of challenge. I mean, they know they need to be able to invest in smaller companies that some development companies, especially outside of North America, don't need a lot of money to get started. They just need someone to kind of manage the brand of the company and let the developers do what they do best.
I understand.
You know, and, you know, they could throw $100,000 or $200,000 at it and make a, you know, decent amount of money, but they don't know how to actually make that formula work for them in their model.
Okay.
You know?
Let's jump a little. I remember listening to an interview with Time, I think, you said?
Time White, yeah.
And
Sega boobs.
Sega boobs, yeah. you should know that B5 Media started a blog about Sega boobs.
We did not.
I don't know what he wanted to say, but it came Sega boobs.
I don't know what I wanted to say either. I don't remember saying Sega boobs. Well, we couldn't find it in the car.
I will give you the CD to listen.
There you
so.
Go.
Anyway, in Romania, companies would start blogs, okay?
Yes. Hopefully.
We'll be there. But first of all, before a company actually starting a blog, there are employees that start blogs.
Mm. That sounds really serious, eh?
Yeah, actually, it is a serious question because
yeah.
I think I know one of the few people that got fired in Romania because of a blog, and you had the same problem at some point. Yeah, I know about that.
Yes, I got fired for blogging.
And how?
Bobby, can you explain more, please? Is that what that says?
One.
Obezigi de explicatio, mea, please.
Habibi, am să fac o pauză și imediat. So, let's talk about the companies and the employees having blogs. What should be the company's policy regarding employees' blogs, and then we'll go to official blogs.
Oh, the company's policy should be everyone should blog. the company's policy.
Yeah, everyone should blog, and we shall fire you.
We shall fire you.
So when they, you know, in Romania, they're firing people in order to make business more productive and stuff like that. So instead of firing them, they should start blogging. Yeah, too nice of us.
I mean, I love speaking at conferences about blogging, but the truth is that the answer is always, it depends on the company, right? You know, so companies, being fired for blogging, in my opinion, is almost always about communication, you know? We talked about this yesterday at the conference, that either employees aren't telling their managers they're blogging, or managers and companies aren't saying, here's what's appropriate, here's what we expect. Here's what we don't want to see in your blog, you know, or they're not saying, you know, because some companies don't want anyone to blog and they don't tell their employees that, right? So a blogging policy really needs to be just clear. I mean, often it's just one page. Here's what's appropriate. You don't talk about financial things. You don't talk about, you know, your boss in a negative way. You don't talk about gossip in the office. You don't, you know, I mean, it's like,
but
most blogging policies.
What do you
blog about? Right?
Do you blog about anything?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to blog about anything then? Why did you get fired? I mean,
yeah.
I know, but our listeners should
sure.
Hear.
So I was working at kind of one of the largest hospitals in Canada. I don't know how big it. I mean, it was, you know, 13,000 employees and 16 square blocks, city blocks. You know, so
huge.
Pretty big hospital with tunnels under the ground because we worked in one of the coldest cities in the world, so you didn't have to walk outside. You got tunnels between the buildings. It was awesome. Totally.
You were rollerblading.
Well, you probably could because they were really smooth floors.
okay.
I need to go back.
Let's go to being fired.
You know, so when I started, they knew I was a blogger. You know, they read my blog. My blog's on my resume, that kind of thing. So when I started, they knew I was a blogger, and I came in and said, you know, what's the policy? And they said, there is none. And I said, well, can we make one? And they said, no, because if we make a policy, then, you know, it's, like, legal and whatever. You know, and that's too much work. You know, my boss basically said, you know, don't be stupid. Don't talk about anything security-related. And, you know, don't talk negatively about your coworkers.
Okay, let's take another another call. Some music.
Well, we got a question. Let's answer this quick question.
Okay.
From Komodo, Jeremy, where do you see Robert Scoble in the blogging world? Was he a key figure that helped the blog evolution?
Yeah, you talked about it on your blog, so please. I think in one interview I've seen. I have a lot of your interviews. While I was preparing for this show, I've read a lot of your answers. So.
Okay, I talked about what?
About Scoble.
Oh, Scoble's awesome.
So
Scoble's a pretty good friend. I don't drop names or anything, but he really is just one of the best people you ever meet. So some people think that Scoble became famous. That's my phone going off. Some people think that Scoble became famous because he worked at Microsoft. I don't really think that's true. I don't think that gives Scoble enough credit because, you know, before he went to Microsoft, he was a Microsoft fan, but he chewed them out when they did things wrong. And when he got to Microsoft, he was a Microsoft fan, and he chewed them out when they did things wrong. He's just always been sincere on his blog, you know, and he's often been flamed and whatever. So I see Scoble as a really good example of a corporate blogger because he went to his bosses and said, what's our policy? What's appropriate? They said, well, really just about anything's appropriate as long as you're not stupid, right? And a few times he went over the line and he'd get a call from his boss or he'd get a call from a team he talked about negatively and they'd say, you know, you didn't really get this right. You really should have kind of given us a call first so we could give you all the information. So, you know, over the 2-3 years he was there, he got better and better at calling teams before he yelled at them.
Then his reviews became more politically...
Well, you might say they became more politically correct, but they actually became more accurate. And whether that's good or bad, I don't know. I mean, he still lambasted people when they were wrong. I mean, he wrote a letter to this to Steve Ballmer saying, you're a complete ass about this gay rights issue. You're totally wrong. You should totally apologize. And Steve Ballmer did, probably not just because of Scoble. I mean, I'm sure there were other people telling him the same thing.
But he had the courage to do this.
Yeah, you know, so I think Scoble's always had the courage to do what he thought was right. And I don't think he ever gave that up. So I think he's a leader and a pioneer, and but more importantly, just a really humble guy, someone that you can easily sit down and have a drink with for just a few hours, have a good meal. He'll pay for it, you know.
That's a good point.
He's just one of the nicest people I've ever met. And everyone who's, you know, knows Scoble just says that. So was he a key figure that helped the blog evolution? I think so. I think that Scoble kind of showed companies that, you know, I think without a Scoble, companies would have said, nobody can blog about our stuff negatively, and nobody can, you know, criticize our things, and nobody can this and nobody can that. I think Scoble showed that actually being real and being human and criticizing things that are wrong can actually be really good for a company because people know when your stuff sucks, you know, and having an employee say, yes, we were wrong in this, yes, this product sucks, yes, we should have dealt with the, you know, Windows security stuff 10 years ago. Having someone say that, I mean, it just helps people trust the company just a little bit more.
Gives you a more human face, a more human touch.
If Scoble did anything, it's to give Microsoft a slightly better human face. And sure, the other 2,000 bloggers did it as well, you know, but I think Scoble really showed them how to be human and how to be real in the blog. You know, so if nothing else, Scoble was an example to internal Microsoft bloggers on what was possible.
Okay, I was...
I hope that answers the question.
I was thinking our next 20-30 minutes of talk would be about corporate blogging in Romania, especially in Romania, because we were interested about that. And your answer about Scoble made it a lot more easier to introduce the question. So... One more 2 minutes break before the final 30 minutes.
Oh, wow, it's almost 10. Wow, this has gone quickly. Okay, sure.
Okay, we're back online. Back in the air. Something like that.
Probably figure out how to work the mixer.
Well, I did that previously. I did that before actually coming into air, because it would be... Then we might have talked for nobody. We might have...
Bobby finally figured out how to... I'm going to say that he's a really good...
Okay, he's playing with the mixer. Let's go back to our show. So, you are talking about Robert Scoble, about Microsoft, about giving a human face to Microsoft.
My dear, dear friend.
Yeah. you know more than I do. So,
I've never been naked with him before, so we're not really that close.
So where should the company start a blog?
Oh, come on.
A short answer.
Because it's so darn cheap, and it doesn't take a lot of work, doesn't take a lot of time, and it's potentially very, very good. I mean, I don't think every company needs a blog. I think every company should consider it, except the CIA. You know, I think that a blog is a good option.
Even Saddam Hussein would have needed a blog, you said in one interview.
Yeah, yeah. People weren't very impressed that I said that, but, you know, I mean...
I've seen.
You know? But I think that any company can blog. I think there are some companies it's not going to help. I mean, you know, your corner store, blogging is probably not going to increase their business very much, right?
Right. But maybe they would create a franchise or something like that.
Who knows? I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I think some types of businesses lend themselves better to blogging than others. But I think, you know, most companies should take a look at it, and they'll know better than I will, you know, whether it's going to work for them. And people like you will know better than I will know if it will work in Romania, you know?
So why are companies skeptical, actually, about blogs?
Because it's new, and they were skeptical about email, they were skeptical...
Hesitant.
They were hesitant about websites.
Look, I'm giving you English lessons.
There you go. They were hesitant about websites, about email, about fax machines, about
phone
signals. companies are afraid of new stuff. You know, it's probably scary because you just get used to one thing and you think you got everything figured out, and then all of a sudden something new comes along and you're told that everything you knew before isn't true. And you know, so blogging's new, and some people who talk about blogging talk about it in this way that makes it seem like it's going to change the world. You know, and it's going to wipe out journalism and revolutionize politics and make everyone live just in the blog land, and nobody's ever going to leave their... You know, I mean, some people are a little crazy about it, so it doesn't help the companies that are scared. So I think, you know, all companies, most companies, should look at it, see if it's right for them, you know, and then make a decision. Maybe it's not right now. Maybe doing a blog now distracts them from some really important thing they're doing. Maybe they do it in 6 months or a year, you know.
Or maybe they could use a pool table instead of a blog. You said that.
Yeah, maybe they could use a pool table instead of a blog.
Yeah, you said that a blog would distract them. So maybe
they should just buy a pool table.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Okay, I raise my hand and say, look, I want to make a joke. Anyway,
okay,
so a company decides they want... This is not a joke.
Oh, a so company this is serious.
Yeah, yeah, very serious.
Nothing ruins a serious moment like saying you're serious.
A company decides, okay, we want to have a blog. It would be good for us to have a blog. Who should actually blog in a company? The CEO, I don't know, the PR people, the new junior that just got hired, the janitor.
The janitor should blog. I hate saying it depends on every company. So when English is my first language, I can speak English.
Maybe you're from the
actually German's my first language. So
maybe you're from the French speaking side of Canada.
Well, I am. German's my first language, and I'm French Canadian, right? So English isn't really my first language. So what you really need to find is you need to find someone who wants to blog, someone who writes pretty well, and someone who's passionate. And even in the largest companies, finding someone that has all three of those qualities is probably pretty hard. You know, it's not going to be 80 people in a 100-person company or 18 people in a 20-person company. You know, so someone that's actually wants to, can write fairly well, and is passionate about the company and the product, you know, some companies that'll be the CEO. Some companies it's going to be some junior guy that just got hired. Some companies it's going to be you.
Like GoDaddy's Bob Parson, I think he has a blog.
Yeah, I don't think he writes in it very often, but he has one.
Yeah, he writes about once a month or something like that. Anyway, and this is my next question. You are referring to meme, but I'm thinking of Romanian bloggers. Do you think a company, a Romanian company, should hire Romanian bloggers to blog about the company?
Well, I think that companies should talk to Romanian bloggers about what's going to work for people in Romania. I think that nobody knows better than you guys what's likely to work. You know, I mean, you might be wrong. That's okay. You know, but you guys have a better understanding.
But still, we're wrong on their own money.
Well, yeah. At least you're paid, right? You know, but nobody knows the Romanian blogging world better than you guys. You know, so I would say that if a company's going to do anything and they're considering blogging, to find one of the existing Romanian bloggers, whether they're one of the big bloggers, like some of the folk I met yesterday who were really great, or whether it's just a small blogger that happens to live close to them or whatever, right? I think that if companies are going to look at blogging, they should talk to Romanian bloggers. Whether they hire that blogger, I don't know. I mean, I've blogged for hire for companies, and sometimes it works really well. Often, though, I'm not as passionate as they might be.
About their own product
their
or
product,
service.
You know, so they're more likely to be passionate than I am. You know, so I'm always a huge advocate of, like, a huge fan of companies blogging for themselves. If it's not possible, okay, you know, bring in someone else. Or if you're doing a resource blog, you know, something to teach people how to use your product or whatever, it doesn't have to be an employee. It can be anyone who's passionate about that product. You know, so it doesn't have to be in the company. But for an official company blog or an inside perspective on the company, it makes sense to have an employee doing it.
And most of all, it makes sense to have a passionate employee doing it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sorry, we just have some questions here.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Wright, do you think that in the very near future, companies are going to put some rules in their policies regarding the employees' blogs? I hope so. I mean, I think we talked about blogging policies a few minutes ago. And I really do hope that companies put, you know, the policies in place, not because I'm a fan of policies, but because I'm a fan of clear communication. And the reason I got fired, I mean, we were talking about this before, I started and everyone loved my blog, but then my boss changed.
You were fired 8 months after the moment you wrote the post.
So I wrote a post, you know, everyone was having fun, everyone laughed about it, my boss laughed about it, you know, it was just a funny kind of thing that happened, and I put it on the blog, and 5 months later, my boss changed, and the new boss found the post and fired me for it. You know, so if a policy had been in place, that wouldn't have happened. You know, so policy is really good at kind of, you know, being clear on what's acceptable and not. You know, so that's my position, is that that's freaking censorship. No, it's not censorship. That's just being smart. I mean, you can write about whatever you want and have free speech on your own blog. You don't get to have free speech on your company's blog.
If you want to have free speech on your own blog, please start pro-blogging and that would be okay.
You know, but if it's about your company, it's on your company's dime, and it's on your company's website or about your company, they're allowed to say, you know what, we built this company and here's what's acceptable. I mean, you don't have to like it. You can go somewhere else. You know, that's not censorship. Censorship is something else. Sorry, I just want to answer some of these other questions.
This is what I wanted to tell you. There's another question about political factors and net neutrality.
Oh, net neutrality. Which side of net neutrality are you on? I'll be really honest. I haven't read enough, and I haven't done enough research to make a serious, serious opinion about this. It's why I haven't blogged about it yet. But to me, yeah, I'm afraid of companies, you know, charging for access and multi-tiered internet, and companies holding Google ransom and having different internet for different companies and that kind of stuff. I'm afraid of that. I'm not sure it's really going to happen. You know, I don't see Comcast or AT&T or Verizon or whoever it is in England or Europe saying,
Vodafone.
Yeah, we're going to screw our customers.
Vodafone,
so that they pay us more. Because customers are going to, you know, have an outcry. So I don't really see it happening. But I'm not a fan of it anyways. I think that, you know, the internet should be free. Information wants to be free. Not in a cheesy kind of way. But I think that if this is all about communication, then we should let communication happen.
Let it flow.
Yeah.
Okay, before answering the question there, I have two more questions I really want you to answer, because it regards pro-blogging in Romania, actually.
Okay.
Why would an advertiser pay for ads on a blog, since they are so politically unfair, incorrect, incorrect, and usually bloggers just say what they think.
Yeah.
Why would an advertiser actually choose a blog to to advertise his product?
What time? We have 15 minutes left. The game starts sooner. Why? Well, I guess it's two things, right? So the big thing that advertisers care about is the audience. You know, so does a blogger have an audience? Does that audience trust the blogger? And will the audience be interested in the product or service? So if all three of those are yes, then from an advertiser perspective, it makes sense. Okay? In terms of personal content and opinion and that kind of thing, some advertisers will care. But smart advertisers will say, okay, is this campaign going to be effective? Maybe the first campaign is a $50 one, and they just try it out. You know, and they try it on three blogs, and, you know, maybe it doesn't work, and maybe they try something else. I mean, you know, we know what works advertising-wise in North America. I don't know what works ad-wise in Romania. I see lots of ads around the country, you know, on buildings and stuff, some amazing ads, but I don't know what works online. You know, so
I don't think anybody knows just yet.
Yeah, but I think that there's a willingness on advertisers' parts to try some things. So I think you're going to see more ads on blogs and more ads on blog-like websites. As how do you find them as a blogger?
And we come to my next question. How could we bloggers in Romania especially convince a fairly internet hesitant business world that we are the real deal, actually, that we're not a bunch of youngsters, because in Romania mostly youngsters and people in their 30s blog? How can we convince the business world that we are the real deal, that we can actually be a medium of communication, we can actually communicate messages and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides to that, right? One is that if you're actually trying to impress business people, talking about your love life and talking about your girlfriends and talking about your cat and how drunk you got last night probably is not going to help.
Unless they sell,
unless they sell girlfriends beer, or condoms. Cats or beer, yes. You know, so
which
that's
would be a good idea.
What, girlfriends, cats, and condoms?
No, beer. Beer producer and stuff like that. Okay.
You know, so if that's what you're trying to do, then you obviously need to, you know, be aware of what those kind of people want, right? But if all you're trying to do is show that communication is really easy with blogs, I would simply blog. I mean, in North America, it took about 8 months from when companies started hearing about blogs until when they went, okay, we can see what works for individuals, and we can make that work for us, so let's do it. You know, I mean, the time between when the first 100 or so companies started and then when there was 10,000 was just months. You know, so when companies get it, they often get it in groups because, you know, everyone talks, right? So I think that, you know, the Romanian bloggers already show that this stuff works. And they show that they can communicate well, and they show that people read, and they show that people comment, and they show that, you know, you guys link all around over and over and over again. That's awesome, right? I think you guys are a really good example to businesses about how this can be really powerful. But if you're trying to do that more, well, I mean, I can't read your blogs to say you're talking about, you know, your girlfriends and cats and beer.
Yeah, most of the bloggers.
Okay.
Yeah. Because of the fact that monetizing a blog in Romania is so difficult, writing a business blog actually isn't that appealing.
Yeah.
Because you usually blog because you like, but a technology blog is usually a lot more difficult to write if you don't have some kind of
background
and especially money-wise reward, something.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, when I was a designer, I would have blogged about design. When I was a programmer, I did blog about programming. When I did server stuff, I blogged about server stuff. So I think that, you know, if your job is advertising, then, you know, you're probably pretty passionate about it, hopefully. And so blogging about advertising makes sense. If your job is being a programmer, then blogging about programming probably makes sense. I mean, it's all about how passionate you actually are about the subject, but I think that people can start, you know, kind of professional blogs and do it really, really well. I know that Andrea was on stage with you.
Yeah, Andres. Yeah, Anderson? No, there.
Dea,
yeah,
was on stage, and you know, she blogs about advertising and stuff. You know,
and
she said,
got,
you know?
She got hired to she, I don't know exactly if hired, but she's training with a big advertising company. So, I wanted to ask you one more question about okay, companies generally fear negative feedback, but
yeah,
on a personal level, what would you do? What do you do with negative feedback? We were talking in the car about some hate mail, but let's how about flame comments and stuff like that?
Okay, so I moderate comments, not because I don't let anything through, but just because when I travel so much, I don't want all kinds of spam showing up, right? So I moderate all comments, and I let all comments through. Unless it's racist or something, or spam, I let it through. So there's probably a few comments in the comment queue right now that are, you know, talking about whatever, you know, some negative things, and those will go on, you know. So I believe in open discussion. I'm not a company, right? So it's different rules, but I believe in open discussion, you know. So I'll approve the comments and I'll respond to the comments and I'll be honest, you know.
But on a personal level?
On a personal level, I'm all for, you know, not having comments moderated. The only reason I do is because I travel. You know,
okay,
and sometimes stuff gets through. I don't want stuff getting through, right? So the only reason I moderate comments is because, you know, I travel 4 or 5 months a year.
Okay. How about soccer? We're getting at our last 10 minutes of show, and at some point, Jeremy was saying 10 minutes before the game starts. So I was thinking you were talking about the World Cup semifinal.
Yeah.
Germany versus Italy.
Mm.
So, are you a soccer fan?
Yeah, but Canada's not in the running this year.
Canada never was. Oh, I think
so we
there
made
was.
It once.
Yeah,
once we made it to the actual World Cup, right? So Canada's not in the running. So I'm a huge fan of soccer. We don't get a lot of it in Canada, really. We can watch the World Cup now, but typically we don't get a lot of soccer in Canada. I lived in England for 2 years, and I was a fan of Man U. Just because it pissed English people off.
I am an MU fan.
There you go.
So we're talking the same language.
You know, but obviously England's not in it anymore. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of the English squad anyways. I'm always a fan of, you know, squads that play just incredibly well with a lot of heart. I think the German squad this year has just shown some incredible, incredible heart. Italy's all flair. Italy's got a great squad, a fantastic keeper, right? But I think the German team, you know, just, it's hard not to root for them, right? So I'm hoping Germany wins. I'm not sure they really will. Italy's a really tough squad this year. But, you know, nobody thought they'd win their last game either.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah,
you know?
You're
right. It'll be a really interesting final to have Germany in it. So.
A last message for bloggers in Romania. On Radio Links, of course, because you hopefully you will send some other messages, and you will be helping us in changing the image of Romania over the internet.
Yeah, I think two big things. One, Romanians need to be proud of their country. You guys have an amazing, amazing country with so much talent, so much passion, so much energy. You need to stand up and be proud of that. Two, the bloggers need to realize that there's a future in blogging in Romania, and the best way to make that future happen is to work together. And three, thank you so much for having me. It's a great country. It's been my honor and my pleasure to be here. And I'm really sorry if I offended anyone about payphones or someone stealing my money at the Carrefour or any of the kind of things that happened.
It happened to you?
Yeah. Oh, you know, man. I'm really sorry if I offended anyone. I wasn't trying to be an ignorant Westerner, but
it just happened.
You know, I mean, I wasn't really trying to offend anyone, so I'm really sorry if I did. I really didn't mean it. I love your country. It's my second favorite in the world. So thank you so much for having me here.
Well, thank you so much for coming here. Unfortunately, the 2 hours of show have almost gone by. So I'm going to speak in Romanian right now. Again, thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me.
And și pentru cei care ne ascultă în limba română, să i-am mulțumit lui Jeremy. Vă mulțumesc și vouă că ne-ați ascultat. Mulțumesc tuturor celor de pe chat, începând cu ajutorul meu Vlad, aici de față, cu Subiectiv și Lightheart, Fly, nu știu dacă e online în acest moment, FX Twin, Bot 234, Cold as Ice, Cosmo, Coti, Habibi, care ne-a întreținut cu discuția toate cele două ore, fără să vorbească mai mult de 30 de secunde despre blogging. Interitus, Gen, Komodo, Laureo, Vlad mi-a zis că totuși Habibi a vorbit și despre blogging, Lost, Lucian Ilica, Q, Razer, Sme, Teddy, Zero View, că mi-a atras atenția pe blog, și Home. Această emisiune o veți găsi ca podcast perio de data asta ceva mai devreme, pentru că săptămâna viitoare voi fi în București, spre deosebire de ultimele două săptămâni. O veți găsi pentru download pe blogul, pe blogul radioului blinks.radiolinks.ro, precum și pe blogul meu, blog.blogoreie.ro. Veți găsi acolo și linkurile către site-urile despre care am discutat astăzi cu Jeremy. Veți găsi mai multe detalii și despre revoluția blogurilor. Mulțumim încă o dată organizatorilor, Fundația pentru Democrație, Cultură și Libertate, Romexpo, ESA și Economics News, care ne-au oferit posibilitatea de a-l aduce pe Jeremy în studio. Și sperăm să mai avem astfel de invitați și în viitor. Să nu uitați, săptămâna viitoare l-am invitat pe Radu Ionescu de la Kinecto. Vedeți raduionescu.ro, unde puteți citi mai multe despre el în situația în care nu ați citit până acum. Vom discuta și cu el despre revoluția blogurilor, a fost partener revoluția blogurilor, deci ne va putea spune mai multe. Vom discuta cum vede el tot ceea ce a spus în această seară Jeremy. Și Bobby Voicu, logout.